I want to start out by reading in Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Hey. And if y'all would just open up there with us and just read along while I read it.
I'll read it.
Huh? I'll read it. You read it? Okay. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34.
All right. It says, starting in verse 30, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
Okay, so we're going to read it again. And I love how God gives us, like, you know, word pictures and like physical representations of things that can take place spiritually in his word. So we're going to read it again. And just this time, think of this as like a physical representation of what could happen to a marriage. So, you know, like the lazy man is that's devoid of understanding is like the man and the wife. The field, the vineyard is a marriage. So I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And it was about a year ago when the Lord spoke this to us, to our marriage. I was seeking the Lord, and like I had never thought of this passage like that way before, you know, that it could be a marriage. And it just kind of like, you know, when the Lord's speaking to you, it just like popped in my head, and the Lord was like, this is y'all's marriage right now, you know. And we weren't having any like big, you know, big problems, you know, we love each other, but it was like this opening of our eyes, you know, like wake up, you know, it was like a loving rebuke and a word to take with us along in our marriage, you know, forever. And, he was showing us that, you know, we were being that lazy man and the man that was without understanding. And while we weren't paying attention and we were slumbering just a little, you know, a little neglect of our marriage, it was kind of slowly being overtaken and the life was being drained out of it. And, you know, we were going to look one day and there was going to be destruction and it was going to come quickly and unexpected like an armed man, you know. And we just knew that was from the Lord and that we were going to get to share it one day. I've heard of this passage in the context, like in terms of someone's heart, like it being someone's heart. And it makes sense that it could kind of be either or, because like whatever's growing and going on in our heart is going to show up in our marriage. You know, the two are really very connected. So just to kind of give you some background at like where we're coming from with this. And, you know, it's something that the Lord spoke to us, something we're still working through with him, and definitely, you know, not perfected. It'll be forever, you know, in our marriage. So we want to go through like the passage and kind of break it down and just dig into what the Lord has shown us. But before we do that, we wanted to just say that, you know, we don't think it was the intention of the Lord to share this with us and then for us to share this with you, to put like this big burden on our shoulders, you know, that this is all on us, because I'm thankful for the verse, you know, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else, you know, all these things will be added to you. And then John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. Because like in and of ourselves, we don't have the ability to maintain and cultivate and produce this beautiful, lively, godly marriage. Like we don't have that in us. You know, it's going to take the Lord doing it. It's going to take the grace of God. But it's got to take also our active participation along with Him. Like, there's a laboring and there's a work in marriage that's ongoing. So it's, He's the one that does it, but we're working and we're laboring in our marriage. You know, we can't be something that's neglected. So just to kind of put that out there before we dig in. But so I want to start with the lazy man. So the lazy man without understanding. So at our stage in life, like, you know, we're really busy. Hey.
I'm on a wild goose chase.
Sorry. We're really busy. And, like, I don't think the Lord was saying to us, like, y'all are lazy. I mean, I definitely can be, you know, but I think in the context of our marriage, He was saying, y'all are being lazy, like, when it comes to your marriage.
Life gets busy, and things come up, and it's like you get to the weekend, and you think you're about to take a breath, and then you come up for air for a second, and you go back under, you know, and it's just like you're diving in, you know, with work, with, you know, figuring out if you know, just being married, like, it's a lot different and compared to the life that you lived prior to that. And now, you know, you're with this other person in your home, all the, you know, and then, you know, having children and the busyness that adds to our lives. And then, you know, the things that we commit to the Lord that we have, like, you know, for me, you know, it's, you know, being on the worship team and, you know, Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Sundays, it can, I don't know better words to put it than other than it just can busy our lives. Not that the work for the Lord is to just be something that's busy, but if we're not careful, that the thing that we can neglect is our marriage, that relationship with the one whom the Lord gave us to be with for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, like for me, I know it's kind of been like, you know, okay, I'm working, like there's kids, and then, you know, doing things for the Lord, like, praise God. Like, that's a privilege. That's an honor to get to serve Him. Like, let's do those things for sure. But then I get home, my guard comes down, and, like, I'm like, I have given my energy to all these other things. I'm tired. Like, I'm sorry, Matt. You know, I'm going to go take a long bath. I just don't, you know, I'm not going to take this opportunity to talk to you. You know, if y'all kind of understand, like, what I'm saying, where I'm going with this. And, like, it's very clear that we're running out of time, you know, like, we're in the end times, and the Lord is, like, really pushing His body out, you know, and saying, like, go, and, like, let's do it, like, praise God, that is awesome, I want to be part of all of it, like, anything that He wants me to do, I want to do it, you know, and, but I think the Lord is just showing us, like, the enemy would love for us to think, okay, I've done all these things, and, like, Matt just gets put to the back burner. You know, I'm not going to invest that time in my marriage. And, you know, He'd love to just come and kind of bring this slow, you know, destruction, like, to our marriages. You know, something that the Lord wants to the world to see that's going to glorify Him and be this picture of Christ in the church. So I'll just give you all an example of myself that the Lord has kind of, like, pricked my heart about recently. So Matt really enjoys playing volleyball, and he does that, like, there's, like, seasons, you know, he's not, like, always playing, like, always throughout the year, but there's little seasons, and, like, it's not typically on Tuesdays that he'll play volleyball. And I have kind of been like, well, this is, like, the one time, one day of the week, you know, where there's not anything really much going on, and I'm just don't want to go to his volleyball games. I want to stay home and do what I want to do, you know. And not that I have to just be at every single game, you know, but, like, Matt wants me to be there. He really enjoys it. He wants me to be part of it. And the Lord has shown me, like, hey, be part of this with your husband. Like, he really enjoys this. Go be part of something that he enjoys, you know, and then the same for Matt with me. And I can't just say, like, well, I'm not doing that. I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, you know. So just that's kind of like a little example of something the Lord's been showing me in my life when it comes to our marriage. Anybody have anything they want to say? Y'all just interject at any time. Okay.
No, it hurts. It's good.
Okay. So, moving on to, so the man was devoid of understanding. So, devoid just means like he was without understanding. And praise God, like, as men and women of God walking together in this marriage, like, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of truth dwelling in us, like, leading us into all truth, guiding us. And then when I look, like, as it pertains to understanding, when I look in the Word of God, though, it says it's something to get, you know, like, it's something to go apply ourselves to. So there's, like, you know, there's this action on our part. And I wanted to read in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. So it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So, like, just looking through that passage of scripture, you can see the words apply your heart to understanding, lift up your voice for understanding. Then also in Proverbs 4, it says, the words get understanding. So you're seeing like these action words. And then Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." So I was thinking through that scripture, a man of understanding will draw it out. And I just picture like this deep well of like this wonderful godly counsel and wisdom and knowledge available, and then this man of understanding like drawing it out, you know, drawing it out of the well, taking it in, doing the action to take the time to take it in. And I think of things like the Sunday school class, and then like all of the good like godly knowledge that's available to us here. And then, like, the Zoom opportunities that we had with, like, the wiser, you know, more older men and women who have walked through a lot more and just, you know, given us just godly wisdom. And then there's some new opportunities coming up that Leah's working on and Miss Carla, where the younger women, we get to ask questions about life and marriage and children to the older women. And then they're going to respond back, and, like, I think there's going to be, like, a book, you know. And so, like, there's all these awesome opportunities available to us. And the Lord, I think, is just, like, showing us, like, it won't be just sitting there taking it in, but, like, taking the time to pray over it, you know. And, like, whatever, you know, if the Lord leads you to journal about it, or, like, go to those people and talk to them directly about it, and, like, let it, like, steep in your heart. Like, apply it.
I really like in Proverbs 20, the one she just read about, counsel in the heart of a man is like the deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, a well. It's like, I kind of picture, you know, Wendy was talking about this well, right? And kind of like, it's like that conversation, like, you know, maybe I'm sitting down with, you know, Pastor Lee or Jeff or somebody that, you know, like she was talking about in the Zoom meetings when we had, some of the older couples come and just pour into us. It's almost like sitting down with a conversation. And it's like you're just like you're pulling out the godly counsel from them. Like, you know, I'm wanting to draw this out, and I'm taking it in, and I drink of this, and it's applied into my life, and I get this understanding. It's like I get it now. You know, it's like maybe something I haven't walked through, but they have. And then it's like I get this counsel on it, and I begin to understand something without having to necessarily walk through it completely. But I've gained an understanding of how someone else has walked through it. And maybe kind of like the flip side of that is us being able to counsel others for things that the Lord has brought us through. You know, and we have this, and we kind of want to make this available to others. And so it's kind of like being able to put ourselves out there to fellowship, you know, the gathering together, and it creates that opportunity for not only us to draw things out of people and being able to get this refreshing counsel, but to also give it to others as well, and being available for that. And I think, you know, that kind of talks to why it's important of us gathering together all the more and getting together and being able to fellowship.
If I might interject something. I'm glad, Wendy, you brought up Proverbs 2, because when you first brought up, I thought, wait, hold on, so what does that have to do with Solomon? But he spends the first, Solomon spends the first half of this entire chapter discussing how wisdom and understanding come from outside yourself. Mm-hmm. Like in every situation, saying, my son, receive my words, hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, if you seek her like the guy who's been poor all of his life and he starts reading about how to get rich, and then suddenly he starts giving every waking moment to going to seminars, I mean, talking to rich people, hanging out, doing everything he can to figure out how to make money so he can stop being poor.
That's good.
You know, or a treasure hunter, the same thing. Or someone who really wants to learn how to play baseball or how to learn how to play the guitar. You know, well, what's he doing? Is he thinking about guitar all day? Is it? No, he used the last of his money to go buy some beat-up guitar, and he plays and he talks to other guitar players and he hangs out with the best of the best as often as he can so this person can get better and be the person that they desire to be. And wisdom and understanding, likewise, in verse 5, he says, you fear the Lord, you find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom.
Amen.
Period. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. God gives it.
Yep.
Even for those who don't love God, it is still a gift of God. Mm-hmm. Even in your study, you know, we're commanded to study and show ourselves approved. Read, research, consider, ponder. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, this isn't something that you're drawing out from within yourself. All this knowledge and everything that was just latent within you that you just had to find. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not inside you.
Amen.
Foolishness is inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom comes from God, period.
Right.
You know, and so I thought we could extrapolate the reality that wisdom is given.
Right.
It's not even earned. It's given.
Yeah. Amen. Yesterday at the, like, the women's fellowship, Miss Jane and Miss Jennifer were sharing, like, about just through the seasons of life, like singlehood, being newly married, young children, teenage children, and on, just like throughout their life, and the wisdom that God has given to them, and how He's kept them, kept their families, kept their marriages, what He's brought them through. And then they were sharing with us, you know, with all these women that were gathered there, what the Lord's given to them, with the wisdom, what He's shown them. And so I was there, and I was thinking, like, knowing that what we're sharing today, I was like, you know, I'm sitting here, and all of this, like, wonderful, rich, awesome, godly knowledge and wisdom is being shared to me, with me. And I want to, like, I want to apply it. I want to go back and listen again. I want to pray about it, you know, and just like, Lord, put this in my heart. Like, let this stick, let it stay, you know. And so it is given, and it's something we've got to, you know, to get, to apply ourselves to, and to just, I think when we say draw it out, it's to spend time in it, you know, like with what the Lord's given us, spend time breaking it down, just letting it sink deep into our hearts. Some of the things in the Sunday school class that we've talked about, like Robin and Caleb have shared, just giving us this understanding about our marriage and, you know, how to go through marriage, walking with the Lord. Hey. Conflict resolution, seeing the face of God in our spouse, like over their faults, seeing Him working in their life, asking God to give us a 1 Corinthians 13 love in our marriage. The balance in marriage and the Christian life, how we fight our battles that we'll encounter together in our marriages. So, like, those are some of the wonderful, like, things that have, you know, been made available to us. So, like, let's take advantage of it. And then, so what can understanding do for my marriage? And in Proverbs 2:11, it says, understanding will keep you. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So I just said, what can it do for my marriage? It can keep it, which in other translations it says guard it, and then it can establish it, you know. So that was just so good. I thought, you know, the Lord showed us that. So moving on down into the passage, let me get back to Proverbs 24.
No, I have a whole lot of time.
Okay. I was afraid we might run out of time. But it says, its surface was covered with nettles, its stone wall broken down. So, like, you can picture this beautiful, like, lively vineyard, and it once was a beautiful, lively vineyard, and now it's, like, overtaken and overgrown by all these ugly things that are, like, choking the life out of it. And I kind of looked into, like, nettle, like, just to see if there was anything there, you know? Just researching a little bit about nettle. And so it says it grows in rich, moist, healthy soil. And so to me, I felt like the Lord was saying there, just because we're Christians and we're going to church, like, we're not exempt from this possibly, you know, taking place in our marriage. Nettle, there's, like, burning and stinging nettle. And then one thing I thought was interesting is that nettle actually spreads through these things called, like, rhizomes. So it's like, it's a stem that shoots out from, like, the base of, like, the root base, horizontally, and then along that stem, different, like, root beds and shoots can just spontaneously, like, shoot up, you know, all along that stem. So I wanted to see if I could find an example of, like, what that looked like.
We didn't have any nettles, but here in Louisiana, you have a lot of dollar weeds that grow.
So this is dollar weed. I'm sure you all have, you know, seen this before.
I didn't know that it was called that.
I didn't either until I looked into it. Yeah.
I'm rich. Yeah.
Dollar weed, yeah. But this actually grows, like, through that stem, that rhizome, just like a nettle does. So all you might see, like, poking out of your flower bed is this little dollar weed. But really what's happening underneath the surface, and it's, like, right underneath the surface. When I dug this out of my flower bed, I just kind of, like, it wasn't real deep. You know, I just kind of had to brush it back. It was right underneath the soil, hidden. All I'm seeing is this, but really there's, like, the system, you know, taking place underneath, like, overtaking the good things, choking the life out of them. And then, so
you
it's...
You can see along the stem... different roots are beginning to sprout off.
The roots and then, like, the different shoots that are going to start coming up.
Yep.
And so, like, the little things in my marriage day to day that, like, the Lord's like, hey, deal with this. And I don't. And I just think it's a really small thing and it's not a big deal. The Lord is showing us, like, hey, it is. You know, look what is really going on underneath the surface. Look what it can lead to. So, you know... I go to bed with, I let the sun go down on my anger, and I go to bed angry, and that's happened before, because, like, I'm tired, and we got into an argument, and it's late at night, and I don't want to deal with it, you know? So, oh, it's not a big deal, we'll talk about it in the morning, it's going to be okay. You know, well, I'm adding life to that ugly root, you know? There is, you know, Matt and I, we have been married... October be 8 years, and, like, just to be honest, like, we're still learning how to just day to day, like, live in harmony with one another. We really are. There's, like, things, like, just the practical, like, living together, like, things, like, ways, like, Matt might prefer things or I might prefer things, and I will just choose, well, I'm gonna do it this way because, like, I just can't, God bless you, I just can't be bothered, you know. Like, one example is, like, recycling. Matt wants us to recycle, and, like, I will just throw the stuff in the trash can and not the bag, recycle bags right there, and I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know. And that's just a one little silly example. There's other things too, and you know, I'm like, oh, it's just not a big deal. But to Matt, it's like, oh, well, she knows this and she just doesn't care. And I've you know, kindly asked her about it multiple times, and she just doesn't care. You know, so I've, like, you know, life is being added to that, like, ugly system that's growing on underneath this, growing underneath the surface. So y'all kind of get this picture, you know, and just that neglect.
And the longer it's neglected, the longer this, it you know, it's, you know, like the Bible talks about bitterness, you know, this root of bitterness. It's like the longer we leave it there, and then it spreads out and begins to cover more of, in this picture that we're talking about, the vineyard, your field, and it's, it begins, and you don't necessarily see it, you know, until it sprouts up, and it sprouts up again, and it's, like she was talking about, it's added to, you know, and if we leave it unattended, if we become like that lazy man, you know, and devoid of understanding, I just don't get it, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, whatever, and I leave it alone, it begins to secretly spread and to grow up more. And, you know, she talked about the nettles, and there's burning and stinging nettles. Nettles actually on the stem that grows up, unlike dollar weed, it's just a weed you can easily pull. It actually has these little hairs that when you grab it, it will sting and burn you. So when you go to pull this one, you know, thing, and so it's like, you know, it, sometimes when we draw these things out or pull these things out, it can be painful. You know, sometimes it whether it's to me, myself, and you know, the Lord kind of shows us something, and you know, it can be painful and pulling it, but it's like, you know, it's important to get it. But, you know, I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but same kind of with this, the way it spreads. If I just pull the stem that I see, right, there's still something else growing on. There's roots that are, and so it's like really going to the Lord. I know we're going to probably run out of time here.
Yeah.
But really going to the Lord and letting him,
like, expose all of the roots.
Expose, you know, the roots and getting down to the root of it, to uproot. And it's going to the Lord and letting him do those things in us. You know, just like when he talked about at the beginning, this passage being kind of connected to, like, our heart, right? And, you know, if our heart's not right in some kind of way, it's going to come out in our marriage, and we're going to see those things because we're one now, we're living together, they see the best of us and the worst of us, and those things coming out of our hearts. And if it's not for the Lord to deal with the heart, then that root doesn't get pulled out. And it, so it's like, I don't necessarily resolve everything by just saying, hey, you know, like when he talked about the recycling, hey, go do this, you know, this is how you need to recycle, don't throw it in the trash, and then all of a sudden she does it, right? But if my heart's not dealt with something, or hers isn't, because then I can become prideful in that and be like, oh, I won this battle, you know, she's listening to me, she's submitting to me, and it's like, then something's wrong in my heart, and I've begun to let this root of something that's so simple begin, and I allow it to spread, and I allow it. But when the Lord deals with our heart, it's like, we have that grace, we have that forgiveness, we have that long-suffering and compassion, knowing that those same things have been given to us. And the Lord begins to uproot these things, and it pulls out this whole stem of things, and you're like, God, I didn't even know that was there. You know, and he begins to pull these things out, and it cleans this up much quicker, and kind of applying that understanding, God, I see what I need to do now. God, I see, this is where I need to, God, and spending time with him to allow him to work these things out. And I don't know if we need to probably go ahead and maybe just save the other half of this for...
I think we might be able to get through it, I think, if y'all are...
About 3 minutes.
Okay. I'll just kind of try, and then where we leave off, okay, we leave off. But so, like, it talks about the stone wall that was broken down. So, you know, that was there obviously, like, for protection, as like a guard against the beasts and like the animals that were going to come in and like eat the grapes, eat the life out of the vineyard. And I just felt like the Lord was showing me that stone, like the stones that build up that stone wall, that kind of that provide that barrier protection for our marriage, the things that make that up. So, like, his word, the body of Christ, each other, like this specific class, like, you know, we need the life of Christ that's in other believers, and then we need the life of Christ that's, you know, in the marriages of other believers, like, to see what the Lord's brought them through, how he's kept them, what he has shown them. You know, we need that in one another. And so if there's one of those stones or pieces missing, that stone wall is weakened.
And I would even say time with each other as well, just spending time together to talk and different things of doing things together, and kind of applying that wisdom and knowledge and understanding, knowing that we need to sow things into our marriage in order for them to be good. And it's kind of like building that that wall.
Yeah. And then the next, I think this is what captivated me most about the passage, but it says, you know, a little, like three times in a row right there, just close in proximity to one another. So that's like, hey, pay it, you know, when it's done that way in scripture, when there's like a word that's, you know, repeated over and over, we want to pay attention to it. But it's just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands, just a little neglect of our marriage, you know, and then look what could potentially happen, you know. So I just wanted to draw that out. And then when I think about, it says, the writer of Proverbs, I looked on it, I received instruction. I considered it, I looked on it, I received instruction. The Lord wants, like, our marriages are to glorify Him. You know, they're like this picture of Christ in the church. And He wants the world, like, you know, just this dark world, to look on the marriages of the men and women that are walking with Him and to receive instruction and be pointed to the Lord, you know, to see this God who, you know, in the midst of, like, what we encounter in our marriages that keep it, establish it, make it beautiful and lively and godly. You know, like, I know that couple is not perfect, but look how they love one another. Like, that doesn't come from them, and they're pointed to God, you know. And yesterday at the Women's Fellowship, we were listening to Miss Jane and Miss Jennifer share, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, I'm considering, I'm looking, and I'm receiving instruction right now, you know, like, and I'm being pointed to God, you know, this God that has, despite what they've gone through, you know, has kept them, like, in their marriage is established. Miss Jane used this beautiful picture, and I'm almost done, y'all, okay, of, like, this ship or boat being anchored, and so the waves are going to come, and that boat's going to be rocked, like this, the boat being a picture of marriage, and it's going to maybe kind of float off to the side here a little bit, but it's anchored, and that anchor is Christ. So despite what waves come against it, it's anchored there. And then, you know, in scripture, the passage about the house being built upon the rock. And I think about that house, like, you know, if you, like, our marriage is that house built upon the rock. And so, like, the floods can come, the winds can come, the rains can descend, and that rock, because our marriage is established on it, is not going to break, crack, or crumble, you know, no matter what we go through. And we go through a lot every day, every week, throughout the course of a lifetime, you know. And people are going to see that, and they're going to receive instruction, and they're going to be pointed to the Lord, you know.
And it'll glorify Him.
It's going to glorify Him. And He wants us to have a beautiful, abundant marriage for us to enjoy. You know, He wants us to have that because He loves us and He's so good. So I think we made it through. Anybody have anything before we close out in prayer?
Well, Father, we just thank You, God. We pray, Father, that we pray for wisdom, Lord. You say that you give freely to those who ask, Lord. Give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge, Lord. Help us to seek it out in those, God, that You've counseled, that You've given wisdom to, God. Let us take advantage of those things that you've placed us, the people around us, Lord. I just pray that this sinks into our hearts, God. Let us not be the lazy man, God. Let us be good to take care of what You've given us and this beautiful thing called marriage, Lord God. And let it glorify You, God, to its fullest, Lord God. We thank You, Father, for today. I pray, Father, that You speak a word to us, God, that really touches our hearts, Lord God. And that You would be with us throughout today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.